not quite 1/4, and never just half, but the entirety of one primate, whole. It is the part of a story, an idea that means more to you than me. Hello and welcome to Full Gorilla Life. We are Jeremy Keene,
Larry Medina,
and Corey Hewlings.
Each week, we will break down an important life concept or talk with an inspiring person so that you can live your full gorilla life. All right, welcome back to the podcast. In our episode today, we are going to be talking with Dr. Garland Vance, entrepreneur, author, and leadership consultant. He's written the book, Getting Unbusy, and trying to figure out, give people some opportunities to figure out ways to just slow down. Garland, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Super excited to be here. Thanks for having me. I'm a listener of the podcast, and so I'm happy to also be able to contribute to it.
And we appreciate that very much.
For sure.
All right, before we get into it too far, I'm going to start with the Gorilla Gauntlet with you. Are you married or single?
I'm married. This year is my 20th anniversary, married to Dorothy.
Congrats.
Any children?
Thanks. Three children, 15-year-old son, Calvin, 13-year-old daughter, Sophie, and a 9-year-old son, Toby.
Okay. What city do you live in?
Live in Knoxville, Tennessee. My family actually moved here about 18 months ago because this was the city my wife and I wanted to retire in. And we figured since we started our own business, let's get a head start and move here, 25, 30 years early.
I hear that. Yeah.
So Garland, this is Larry, by the way. And I'm going to disrupt this Gorilla Gauntlet here for a second. So you moved to Knoxville before, like as you're starting a business?
Well, we had started a business while we were living in Texas. We started the business in 2017, started writing the book in 2018, at the beginning of 2018, and then decided we were going to move. Sorry. I got my time wrong there. Started writing the book in 2017, and then in 2018, early 2018, we got sick of where we were living and decided it was time to move. So put the book on hold for about 10 months and moved to Knoxville. So started a business, started a book, stopped the book, moved to Knoxville, and then finished the book.
Was there something specific about Knoxville that brought you there, or weather or family or?
It was a couple of things. We loved the friendliness. It's a mid-sized city, but it has the friendliness of a small town. And so we loved the friendliness of the place. We also loved the Smoky Mountains. And my wife and I wanted to be able to get our family outside and go hiking and have fun and not just be stuck in, a flat, ugly concrete place like Houston, Texas, where we were living.
I hear that.
So yeah, those were the two main factors.
Yeah, I got a brother-in-law that lives in is it Cleveland, outside of Chattanooga, close somewhere up there.
Yeah.
Where were we at? iPhone or Android?
Say that again.
Are you an iPhone or Android user?
I'm an iPhone user.
Have you always been iPhone?
Apple all the way.
Okay, all the way. So you're the MacBook
all
guy.
The way, yeah, I've never used, and I'm talking on AirPods right now. I've got my Mac in front of me, my iPhone. I'm not as big of a fan as I used to be, but I like it enough to still stick with them.
To keep buying.
Once they have you in that ecosystem, it's hard to break away.
Yeah, it is. It truly is.
Your favorite movie or book?
Getting Unbusy.
Favorite movie would be a tie between The Matrix, the first one.
Garland, we just became best friends.
Nice. And the tie with that would be Shawshank Redemption.
Oh,
both of those are just.
Now that to me is easily top three of all time.
That's probably my number one.
Yeah. I mean, it could be my number one movie of all time.
Wait. Hold on. Garland.
It's pretty cool. My oldest son turned 13, I said, hey, there's a 13-year-old dad's movie club that you can now be a part of. And so I introduced him to The Matrix at that time, the Batman/Dark Knight trilogy. And then this year, as he just turned 15 recently, in the next month or so, I'm probably going to introduce him to Shawshank.
So are you excited about The Matrix 4? Or do you wish that they just kind of let it go?
No, I certainly don't want him to let it go. You know, there's this question in the back of my mind of, can they live up to the first one? And so I'm excited enough to go see it. I'll definitely go see it. But I don't know how excited I am. I will tell you though, a couple of weeks ago, my oldest son and I went to see The Matrix, the original, in 4D in a theater. So it had fans and the chairs shook and tilted as the screen tilted. It was amazing. Just awesome.
So did it feel like they were hooking you up in the back of your head?
yeah, exactly. Right. You hooked up, boom.
Yeah. By the way, that's my son.
Yeah, I didn't have that part, fortunately. Didn't have that part.
My son hasn't seen it yet, but he always tells me, he's like, why do I need to read a book? Why can't you just put a chip in my brain? I'm like, okay, fair enough. Sorry. Go ahead, Corey.
What's your favorite genre of music?
That's a tough one. It depends on the day. I like anything except really redneck country music. And so today was more hip hop and some Eminem and just getting pumped up a little bit. And tomorrow maybe 90s heavy metal. So just depends on the day.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I can definitely appreciate that.
Your favorite type of food?
Favorite type of food would be upscale Southern cooking. So like really good fried chicken, like we were talking about, fried green tomatoes, you know, kind of the high-end pimento cheese, like the really good Southern cooking. That's probably one of the reasons we moved back to Tennessee as well. To get some more of that food.
Clog your arteries just by looking at it type of stuff, right?
So, Garland, do you ever miss the barbecue from Houston, though?
Do I miss barbecue?
Yeah, from Houston or no?
Yeah. Tennessee has some okay barbecue. There's definitely some places that are good, but the Texas barbecue was killer.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been quite a few places in Tennessee, Nashville and Memphis, and I've tried their barbecue, but I haven't been able to. I can do Southern barbecue like North Carolina, South Carolina, but something about Tennessee barbecue just does not resonate very well with me. You. And I love Texas barbecue, obviously, but
yeah.
I don't know. Just to each their own, I guess. What type of car do you drive?
I drive a Chevy Traverse that comfortably fits my family of five.
Okay. And beer, whiskey, or wine?
I didn't know they were enemies where I had to pick one.
I like it.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
There you go. Fair enough.
Yeah. I would say if I could only pick one, I would pick beer. But I do like all three.
Right on.
Awesome.
What's not to like?
Exactly.
That's right.
So thanks for coming on. There's a little bit about Garland, and we want to get into kind of what you're up to these days. So you've just written a book, Getting Unbusy.
I did.
What made you go down that path? What brought that to light?
So it started back in 2013. I was working with one of Chick-fil-A's nonprofits. I was directing branch of the organization. I had started a doctorate a few years ago. I had three young kids. I was helping our church create some leadership development programs, and I started having all of these physical problems. And it was chronic migraine headaches where I would be out. I would just have to go to bed for 12 hours, and those were happening like three times a week. I was having heart palpitations, forgetfulness, just all of these physical problems. And so I went in for my annual checkup and just said to my doctor, hey, I've got all these things that are going on. Can you tell me what the problem is. And I was pretty concerned, especially with the migraine headaches. And my doctor said, hey, tell me about your life. And I said, well, I'm busy, but just like everybody else is busy. And he said, unpack that busyness. And so I told him what I just told y'all. And also that I was traveling about 60 days a year with my job. And, you know, school was taking 20 hours a week. And so I just described all of that to him. And he said, Garland, I think I know what your problem is. And then he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, I'm concerned for your life. And ended up saying that my problem wasn't some brain tumor. It wasn't, you know, heart problems. That my problem was stress, which I didn't like that answer. I thought that was kind of, you know, only weak people got stressed out.
Almost sounds like a cop-out, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, no, you're not going to give me a pill because I'm stressed out. I'm not stressed. And I even said that to him. I said, I don't feel stressed. And he said, well, your head does 3 times a week. And I said, well, why in the world would I be so stressed? And he said, because you're busy. And it triggered for me all of these conversations that I had with so many people where I would say, hey, how are you doing? And their response would be, oh, I'm good. I'm just really busy, right? And it was almost like this badge of honor that they wore where they were trying to brag. And I was trying to brag too, right? You know, like I'm so busy, you're so busy. Look at how important we are.
Yeah. And
so at the time I was working on my doctorate at the time. And I was like, you know, if he's going to tell me that busyness is killing me, I'm going to do the research and see if he's telling the truth. And not only did I discover that he's telling us the truth, right? If you don't kill busyness, it will kill you. But I also dedicated the next 2 years of my doctoral research to figuring out how to help high capacity, high achieving people beat busyness while still accomplishing a huge amount.
So this process, so basically when this happened, then you were in the middle of your doctorate. Did you change what you were focusing on then? And this became your like dissertation and whatnot?
It did become my dissertation. I fortunately hadn't needed to decide yet what I was doing. I was going into that. And so I still focused on my doctorate is in leadership. And so I still got still did that focus, but I focused on leaders and busyness and what it's doing okay. to them and their organization.
Yeah, I think what you said a minute ago is something that's kind of important, right? Because a lot of people, they actually brag about how little they slept, how busy they are. and so a lot of those people like that, that's kind of like their badge of honor. I think that that's a really important aspect of life today. I feel kind of to what you were saying a minute ago, you know, so I do appreciate you bringing that out.
Yeah. We really do wear it as a badge of honor and it's, you know, and so, you know, we brag about it and it's because we find our identity in it is if I'm busy, I must be important. And it's just, it's an identity issue.
Yeah. So you say it's killing us. I mean, did you go, when you're in your research, did you get into some of the, like the actual, just like in the stress and how that affects the body and things of that nature? Like, where did you go with that? How are you saying that it's killing us in that case?
Yeah. Yeah, so real quick overview of how, so our bodies are designed to respond to stress. And stress, all stress is it's our body's response when the way things are aren't the way we want them to be. So we can have stress when we're getting ready for a presentation and we're really excited about it, but we're also nervous about it. And so things aren't exactly the way that we want them to be yet. And so we begin to stress out. Or we can experience stress when, you know, we run into a bear as we're going on a hike in the middle of the woods.
I've been there actually.
And, man, that sounds like a scary story.
Luckily it ran the other way.
I'm not jealous.
Not to jump into the bear. Yeah, the bear went the other way. We were good, but.
And it was 5 pounds. Into a bear.
Yeah.
And it was a cub.
So, I mean.
And also at the zoo.
They weren't there. So continue. I apologize. I forget when I say things. Sometimes we get off on tangents. My bad.
No, that's good. That's good. So whenever we encounter stress, our bodies use our sympathetic nervous system to release adrenaline and cortisol, And those have a bunch of different effects, but their primary function is to give us the energy and the focus and the motivation we need to deal with the stress. And then once that stress is removed and dealt with, our parasympathetic nervous system kicks in and it washes our body of the adrenaline and cortisol. Well, when a person is busy, they encounter stress over and over and over throughout the day, because every commitment that they make creates a little bit of stress, a little bit of pressure, which releases adrenaline and cortisol constantly. And our bodies don't have the time to kick the parasympathetic nervous system into gear and to wash our bodies of that. So when I say it's killing us, it genuinely is. The diseases that have been linked to adrenaline and cortisol overexposure are things like diarrhea, prolonged fatigue, insomnia, lack of appetite, loss of libido, inability to concentrate, frequent illnesses, rapid or skipped heartbeat, depression, anxiety, chronic muscle tension, headaches, colitis, diverticulitis, ulcers, constipation, and a loss of enthusiasm for life. I mean, so these are serious issues that are stemming from overexposure to adrenaline and cortisol.
That's interesting. So that's the first time I hear of diverticulitis, as because I actually know somebody who had that. So that's why that popped out for me. So that's the first I hear of it. That's interesting.
Let me ask you a question. In your research, because I've heard this a couple different ways before, did you or do you feel that you can catch up on sleep? Because I know lack of sleep has a lot to do with that, or I would think, you know, we get so busy that we don't, that's one of the things that we're like, that can wait till I'm dead. Do you think you can catch up on sleep?
I think you can. My understanding from the research that I've done around sleep, and I'm not a medical doctor, and so my understanding on the research around sleep is that in the short term, we are able to catch up from sleep. So if I get a bad night of sleep tonight, then tomorrow night, it is possible for me to make up for it a little bit, or if I have two or three nights. But prolonged exposure to lower sleep, my understanding is that there are long-term and somewhat irrevocable effects that come from that, which is really bad for me, because during my busy stage, I was, which was multiple years, I was trying to you know, live off of 4 hours of sleep a night. And so that's my understanding.
Yeah. And I ask that because it's a personal question to me, and me and my wife kind of go back and forth on it, and I'm, you know, I'll catch up on it later, but, I've heard it both ways. You know, I've heard, well, it is possible to catch up on sleep, and these aren't by medical doctors either, but some other people that I've listened to, some seminars that I've been to, but then I've also heard that no, once you've lost it, you've lost it. So yeah. I haven't.
Yeah, I definitely hope that you can catch up on it, because I've become much better at getting the sleep that I need and figuring out how much sleep my body needs. But it could be either way.
So, when I think about that, I think people always say there's good and bad stress. Would you say that, I mean, when good stress, I mean, is that still going to affect the body the same way? Or do you feel like that's just, does that kind of go back to where you said kind of, well, there, you could be excited about something, which might be a good level of stress to get you focused, or someone like me who might be a little bit of a last minute type of guy.
Or not only that, right? Yeah. But even getting a promotion can be a different stress.
Like, true. It could seem positive, but then become, okay, yeah. Go ahead, Garland, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's okay. So there is good stress and bad stress. So the technical term there is eustress is good stress, and distress is bad stress. The problem is our bodies can't tell the difference between the two. So I can have so much good stress in my life that it actually becomes bad. And in fact, that's exactly what busyness is. Busyness is an overcommitment to too many good commitments. Nobody, none of you, none of the listeners right now are busy because of bad, awful things. They're busy because they have a job, and that's a good thing. They're busy because they have kids, and those kids have activities, and that's a good thing. They're busy because they're starting a business, and that's a good thing. Or busy because they're involved in the community or in church activities. Those are good things. But when you add all of those good things together, they become really bad. And just to go back to fried chicken, since we talked about it earlier,
sure.
It's the same thing. Fried chicken can be so good, but if I eat too much of it, it becomes very, very bad for me. Very same quickly. Thing with good stress.
So we all kind of took your assessment, your okay. little mini assessment, and we all got a very similar score, but I wanted to clarify something. We all were busy. We did find that out.
Just to clarify, the assessment. Okay.
The assessment.
You can find it at www.gettingunbusy.com/assessment.
And basically you put this assessment together so people could kind of take a quick quiz to get some feedback on what their thought process is on their busyness.
Yeah, I identified, so this came out of my research. I identified 20 behaviors that highly productive and unbusy people have in their lives. So these 20 habits or 20 behaviors. And so the assessment is anybody who takes it is giving feedback on those 20 behaviors, how often they do them. And then that gives you a score, and that score tells you how busy or unbusy you are.
Got you. So when I get this score, is it like a test grade? If the higher, the better.
Yeah, the higher, the better. And
so we all failed.
there's several different categories. There's several different categories of it that you can score throughout the you know, it's a 100-point quiz essentially. But the higher you get, the more likely it is that you're highly purposeful, but also unbusy.
So I got a 72%. So that's like a low C.
You got a 72?
Oh, well, I thought he told us.
Yeah. And I think, Garland, I think Larry's kind of making, he made him retook it or something. I'm not sure. Because he originally told us 50. He told us a 58.
I'm still operating at the overwhelm level, though.
So okay. I was, yeah, and you were a 58, and I think I was a 56 or something like right there. Yeah. We were almost all the same.
You guys are losers.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
So I've enjoyed kind of looking in the book and whatnot, and you have a lot of different steps that can help us get past busyness. And you talked about, for example, the need to have definite steps and provide 5 specific steps. Do you want to kind of touch base on those and kind of share some of that or what people could find in your book?
Yeah, absolutely. The heart of even me writing this book was I was like, there are enough books out there that say, you know, people are stressed out and overwhelmed and they shouldn't be. And yet very few of those books, and I read a ton of them in my research, very few of those books could give a step-by-step process that a person needs to go through to move from stressed to unbusy. So there's 5 steps that I identified. The first step, they all start with D. And so the first step is you have to decide. You have to decide that busyness isn't worth it, that what it's doing to you physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally is not worth it. And you have to decide to get unbusy. And once you decide to get unbusy, then I move you into the second step, which is deconstruct. And in deconstruct, you are going to deconstruct 3 inhibiting beliefs that keep you trapped in busyness. Those 3 beliefs are, I need to be more, I need to do more, and I need to get more. You're going to deconstruct some bad habits, specifically not building boundaries in your day and saying yes too often. And then you're also going to deconstruct some unwanted commitments, some things that you have said yes to that you don't want to do anymore. And I walk you through a process of how do you actually either eliminate those, delegate those, or negotiate out of those. So once you've completed that second step of deconstructing, now you typically have about 10 extra hours of time in your life. And that's when you begin to go into step 3, which is design. And design is where you...
If I can interrupt you 1 second, I just wanted to... when that, because I feel like that's probably one of my main problems is saying yes to everything. And you know, people say I'm a jack of all trades, but I think it's just because I don't know how to say no, or that's what my wife tells me anyways. Now, when you say you go into like how to negotiate back out of those things that you've committed to, do you find that's a major problem for a lot of people, or do people just fall all over the spectrum, like on how they get their life?
I think it's a major problem. Yeah, I think it's a major problem. You know, one of the reasons that we're so busy is because we care about people. You know, we love our family, we love our community, we love our coworkers, and so when they ask us to do something, our automatic reflex, just out of caring for them, is to say yes, and without really even thinking about it and thinking through it. So what I found in the research is that people are overcommitted because they've, for that very reason, because they've said yes so often without even thinking about it. And so, you know, we want to break that habit. We actually want no to become a default answer for us, so that when somebody asks us to do something, in the back of my mind, my immediate response is, no, I'm not going to do that. And then it's, unless you can prove to me that it's worth it. And so more often than not, the burden of proof for busy people is on no. You know, you've got to prove to me that I shouldn't do something. And we want to switch that thinking to say, you know, the burden of proof actually needs to be on that I should take on this extra commitment. So yeah, no was the first word that you ever learned to say. And yet as adults, it's the hardest word to say.
So when you say default, so basically instead of just saying yes to everything, you might say no, but that doesn't mean you're not willing to after you've analyzed it. Is that what you kind of mean with that? So like I say no, but then once I can analyze it, I might be like, okay, I actually want to do that, but I want to at least give it some thought before I just automatically say yes.
Exactly. So my gut reaction is no, I'm not going to add that. And I may not say that to the person, right? But that's my gut reaction is no, I'm not going to do that. But why don't you make a compelling case for why I should, and then give me a little bit of time to think about it.
Okay. That's understandable. And sorry for interrupting you. I know you were on step three there. Just like I said, I think that's probably one of my biggest problems personally.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a lot of people's problems of, you know, I call no a muscle. You've got to strengthen it. Just like your biceps and your triceps, your no has got to be strengthened. So the third step is you begin to design the life that you want to live. And what's the pace that you want to live at? What's the margin or the space that you want in your life? And this is one of the big aha moments for me in all of the research was in the middle of this step of designing. I discovered what I call the core four. And the core four are four practices that highly productive yet rested and unbusy people build into their lives first. And those four practices are rest, relationships, recreation, and reflection. And what I found that highly productive but unbusy people do is they actually build those things into their lives first, those practices of rest, relationships, recreation, and reflection. They put those in first, and then they build everything else around that. And so you begin to design a life with the people who you value the most and who are the most energizing to you. You begin to build your life around the things that you enjoy doing, around the rest that you need to get, and then around the reflection of looking back so that you can move ahead more intentionally. So that's step three. Is you design. Step four is you develop, and I introduce readers to the habits that they need to develop, the mindset that they need to develop, and then even the way that they treat their calendar. How do you treat your calendar? And that's really the first time where we even talk about time management at all in this process. And then the fifth step is you begin to draw other people in. And that's where you actually begin to draw in your family, your friends, and your coworkers to this life of unbusyness, because it becomes really attractive to other people that you have the time, energy, and attention to give to your biggest dreams and your highest priorities when they're just keeping their heads down, you know, just trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, and I think those four R's, that speaks a lot, because I think a lot of people try to implement one of them into their lives, maybe two, but they don't maybe think of it as a whole and a way of life, if you will. So I think that resonates with me, at least, I know.
Yeah.
So I was looking through some of the stuff, and I was curious if, I know you, I think you have something coming up, or if it hasn't yet, it might be soon. You were talking about launching it and having a challenge, this 30-day challenge of getting unbusy. Is that something that's in the works, or is that something that's available now?
So it's, so you can actually get the worksheet in the book. There's a 30-day challenge that you can do, where if you get the book, you can just go, you know, day by day, read this, implement this. And it's kind of even a little tricky, because it's really a 26-day challenge, because they give you 4 days in the midst of that where you're off, because I want you to begin building that rhythm into your life. I am looking at the new year launching a 30-day challenge where it would be a community 30-day challenge. But so plans are in the works right now, but nothing is set in stone for that.
Okay. And I think that's a good time, because people always reflect on what their goals are then. So that's a great time to kind of implement that. I'll have to keep tabs on that. Maybe I'll jump on the 30-day challenge myself.
I saw you were,
I'd love it.
I saw you. Were you on like Forbes list of books to read or something like that? Did I see that on Instagram or Facebook?
Yeah, that was pretty surprising and awesome and validating. So a few weeks ago, Forbes listed Getting Unbusy as one of the 7 books everyone on your team should read.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was pretty impressive, absolutely. And I can see why, too, because if you're going to get your life in order, essentially getting unbusy, I mean, you're going to be a better employee, you know, or a better business owner, or however you want to look at it.
Better husband.
Yeah.
Better father.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one thing that always comes to my mind is kind of like when you're flying, right? When you're about to take off, one of the things that they say is if you lose oxygen, the mask is going to fall, and you always have to take care of yourself first before you try and take care of somebody else, which it makes sense, because if you don't have oxygen, you're going to be the first one to go out, right? And then you can't help anybody. So, yeah. Getting unbusy, looking after yourself, you really have to do that before you can really look after others.
Definitely. So,
yep, absolutely.
Garland, with our listeners, where can they find you and kind of see what's going on with you?
Yeah, so if you want to go to gettingunbusybook.com, so getting does not have a G on the end. I live in the South. We just abbreviated it. So right, gettingunbusybook.com. There's a couple of things they can get there. One, they can get 6 free chapters from the book so that they can get a feel for what it's really like. That's way more than they would get if they went to Amazon. They can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any place and get that. But the gettingunbusybook.com is also going to be the assessment that they can take there. And so that's the best way, I think, to get started, is even to evaluate, hey, how busy am I?
Awesome. Well, Dr. Garland, listen, we have one final question for you, if you're ready for it.
I'm ready.
So based on your experiences, right, based on your life experiences, what is one of the most important pieces of advice you can give to our listeners?
So I'm going to say something that is along the same lines, a little bit different, but along the same lines. This comes from a philosopher named Dr. Dallas Willard, who taught at University of Southern California for years and passed away a few years ago. But he would say to his students, ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And what I found is the less I hurry, the better I am myself, the better I treat other people, and the more present I am to all of the dreams and the priorities that I have in my life.
I hear that. Absolutely.
That's fantastic advice. Yeah. I really appreciate that.
Garland, we thank you for coming on, and we really appreciate it. And maybe get into that challenge. We'll have you back on and see how we did on it. I don't know. So,
hey, I love that. Love that. Guys, thanks for what you're doing in inspiring and pushing people to live this full gorilla life, where they embrace the life that they want to live and not just live other people's dreams. Love it. Thanks for doing it.
Thank you so much,
John. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
If you guys got any questions, comments, or concerns, you can find us at fullgorillalife@gmail.com. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Full Gorilla Life, and on Twitter at Gorilla Full, like beautiful, but with a gorilla.
Please visit our website, fullgorilla.life, as well as please hit subscribe on your podcast app of choice. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, have a great day, have a great life. Get unbusy. Let's do it.